Glory to God. Please be seated. Please take your seats. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, it's wonderful. Thank God. You know, it's wonderful to come and share the word again today with us all. And you know, recently, there's none of us that won't be aware of what's been happening in the nation recently. Yep. And all the terrorist attacks, etc., etc., etc. But you know, I thank God that he's our God, amen, and that his hand is over us as a nation. We thank God that the recent elections went without any incident. Praise God, amen. Amen. And you know, God is faithful, and you know, he's faithful to us in so many different ways. So why don't we just give God praise for his faithfulness? You know, because if anyone is faithful, you know, God is faithful. God's the one whose hand is always watching over us, whose hand is always upon us. And you know, just listen to the media, there have been so many comments just in terms of, you know, security is really high up on the agenda, isn't it? Yes. Everyone's talking about security. And I've been listening to a lot of the stories by the media and listening to the different politicians saying what they would or wouldn't do. And you can hear some criticism sometimes, some analysis, criticism of the services, and just in regards to the counter-terrorism strategy in the earth. And, you know, as we've been listening to all of that stuff, and I was meditating, you know, it's always good to look up, amen? Amen. When we hit a problem, when there's an issue, don't just look around or take public opinion, but look up and speak to the Lord. Ask the Lord about it. And you know, I heard the Lord ask me a question and say, well, what's the church's counter-terrorism strategy? What's our counter-terrorism strategy? You know, we've heard about prevent, the one of the national counter-terrorism strategies to divert, you know, people away from becoming terrorists and looking into that whole area. But when God asked me that, Mary, she's gone the wrong way. I was trying to signal to her to pass me this on side, but obviously kind of lost in translation somewhere. Amen. I'll just take a sip. But you know, when God asked me that, you know, he began to bring some scriptures to light. And you know, how many know when God asks you a question, it's not because he doesn't know the answer, but he's kind of nudging you to take a deeper look, to take a closer look at something. And so I, you know, began to have a closer look at certain scriptures. And I want you to come with me on a journey this morning. It's going to be a short journey, you'll be pleased to know. But God just began to illuminate some scriptures to me. So let's start together in the book of Romans and the 10th chapter. The book of Romans and chapter 10. And if we could have it up on the screen. Just two verses in there. The 14th and the 15th verse. And I'm reading from the New King James Version. Romans chapter 10, verses 14 and 15. And it says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Amen. 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 How shall they hear? How shall they hear? How shall they hear? And I began to just meditate on God's word there, saying, how shall they hear? How shall they call on him of whom they have not heard? Of whom they have not heard. How shall they call on him? And God said to me this, you know, the strategy is very simple. says step number one of the strategy that we're going to call on him. Amen? I said we're going to call on him, to call on the Lord concerning our nation. No, I think it was Pastor Ken God. It's interesting that he's coming soon to speak to us. But I remember the last time he came, he made a statement. And, you know, I wrote it down and I noted it. And it said, you know, talk to the people about, no, sorry, talk to God about the people before you talk to the people about God. You hearing me?
Yes.
I thought, wow, that made sense. It says, talk to God about the people first before you talk to the people about God. And so that's one of God's major strategies, that we need to talk to him about the people. You know, what does Psalm 2 and verse 8 say? Psalm 2 and verse 8, it says, ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. So God is the one telling us to ask of him.
Right.
To ask him for the nation. To ask him for the peoples. God wants us to ask him. See, God wants to do it, but he wants a man in the earth to ask him. And you see, there's that place of intercession, just like Abraham had. And interceded on the behalf of the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, you and I are in that place of intercession here on the earth. We are God's ambassadors on earth. Amen? We're representing heaven, but here on the earth. And so God asks us to ask of him for the nations. Now, this is God's strategy. You know, our half nights and our all nights are not for nothing. Amen? So God has given us those tools, if you like, are in place. And all the all-nighters and half-nighters said, amen. Amen. You know, that's part of God's divine strength. God wants us to ask him. God wants us to take that place in intercession and intercessory prayer for our nation. Because he wants to do some stuff. Amen. And so there are, you know, the government, you see, it's not man's way. But this is God's way. This is God's divine strategy. See, the Bible says our battle isn't against flesh and blood, is it? We're not fighting against flesh and blood. You see, they try to make us think that it is. It's not sort of Christians versus Muslims and stuff, you know. It's a spiritual battle. Ephesians 6 and 12 says that, you know, we're wrestling against principalities, against powers, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Amen? And so God has given us some divine tools to wrestle in prayer and to dethrone these powers. And so we want to really make sure that we're taking our place. So I want to, this is like a little plug. So if you're not, if you don't come to the half nights and to the all nights, guess what? It's a, yes, to the prayer meetings, yes, indeed. Okay, to the prayer meeting, it's a good place to come and plug in, to see the will of God done and accomplished in the earth, in your city and in this nation. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And so that's, you know, part of God's divine counter strategy, you know, if you like. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people who are called by my name will do what? Will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then God says he will hear from heaven, he'll forgive our sin, and he'll heal our land. But God says, if my people, no, that's a big if. Turn to your neighbor and say, if. Say, if you will,
then God will.
You see, so if we do some things here on earth, God is going to respond and do some things from heaven above. Can you say amen? And so, you know, it's the divine strategy, you know, of the Lord. So he wants us to, take up, he wants us to do these things so that his will can be done. See, Jesus taught his disciples to pray, Father, let your kingdom come, let your will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. And so it's God's will that we want to see prevailing on the earth at this time. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And it's so key and it's so important. So that's number one. So call on him. So talk to God about the people. And the second point, see, is so simple as well. Then talk to the people about God. Then we can talk to the people about God. After we've first spoken to God about the people, then we can begin to talk to people about God. And, you know, so let's look at the book of 1 Corinthians and chapter 2. Sorry, 1 Corinthians and chapter 1. And then just one verse there. The 21st verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21. First Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21. I'm going to turn to it. Here we go. Okay. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. It pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. And so how are people going to believe? By the message preached. Bible says, through the foolishness of the message preached. Why is it foolish? Because it's foolish to the world. This story about a man, a good man, as the world would describe him, who died on the cross, was crucified, and he rose again on the third day. How does that make people believe? How do they believe that? Does the world believe that? You see, there's that song, like, Jesus is the answer to all the world today. I think it was Andre Crouch, you know, who sang it. But, you know, the world doesn't understand that it's Jesus. Amen? But, you see, there is truth. I'll tell you what the world does understand. The world does understand your testimony and my testimony. Amen. You testify of what Jesus has done in your life, in my life, and then the world listens to that testimony. So in the book of John's Gospel, chapter 4, and it's a familiar story, the story of the woman at the well. And you know, it's so interesting because that woman was there to draw water from the well. Jesus turns up, okay, with no bucket to draw water, finds this woman sitting there at the well and asks her to help him draw up some water and give him a drink. And we know that story. And she looks at him and thinks, well, you haven't got a bucket to draw water, and you're asking me, you know, a Samaritan woman to give water to you, a Jew. And we know how the story goes, but I want to zero in on what God highlighted to me at the 28th verse. Because Jesus had said to her that if she knew who it was that was speaking to her, that she'd ask him for water and he'd give her living water. Amen? And then it says this, that the woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city and said to the men. Now, the woman had come here, obviously, to draw water. But Jesus Christ's encounter with her had such an impact that this living water, she so wanted it, that she was so excited that she left completely her own bucket that she'd had to draw water and ran off into the city and began to proclaim and to broadcast what Jesus Christ had just done. He said, come see a man, if you skip forward, he says, come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Come see a man. So all of a sudden, she had a testimony. All of a sudden, she had a testimony. And the Lord said to me, you know what? We can give people a testimony. So we can give people a testimony. And you know how? It's by the Jesus that they encounter in you. It's by the Jesus that they encounter in me. Yeah. That, you know, if someone's sick and you minister healing, guess what? You've shared a little bit of Jesus with that person because you've shared Christ the healer with them. If a marriage is falling apart and you speak into and minister to them in that marriage, and that marriage is restored, then you have shared a little bit of Jesus, the restorer, into that marriage. a little bit of Jesus, the healer, and binding up those wounds. And so Jesus Christ is ministering to the world. But as God was at work through Christ speaking to us. And so through each and every one of us, Christ is ministering into the hearts of our community, into the hearts of our neighbors, of our brothers and sisters. And this is the heart of God, what God wants to do. If we skip down to the, so this is still in going back to John's Gospel chapter 4. And if we skip down to the 39th verse. And it says, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word that the woman who testified said that he told me all things that I ever did. So many of them believed because of that woman's testimony. But what happened next was that also now she came, that many more people then believed. Many people came and listened to Jesus Christ themselves. And said, we believe now, not only because of your testimony, but because we have heard him ourselves, and therefore we have now believed. Amen? Yes. And so this is God's strategy. And guess what point number three is? Point number three is to do point number one again. Talk to God about the people. And so that cycle continues. We speak to God about the people, and then we speak to the people about God. Amen? We speak to God about the people, and then we speak to the people about God. And we keep on doing that, and we keep on doing that, and we keep on doing that. You see, because that is our testimony. I want to see a little video clip of just a real powerful testimony. And we'll just see how this actually went. What's the word? I think the word is viral. This kind of stuff, you know, goes viral. Just of a testimony of a woman who was saved from a horrific accident. But let's, so Godfrey, are we ready in the sound box? And it's just a short clip, and I just want us to have a quick look.
My name is Ketchy.
Ketchy, where are you from, darling?
Volume, please.
What's your name?
My name is Ketchy.
Ketchy, where are you from, darling?
I'm from Nigeria, but I live in Houston right now.
Why America's Got Talent?
I want to share my voice with America's Got Talent.
How many years have you been singing for?
Since I was about 7 or 8.
Okay.
But only very seriously about 12 years now.
And what got you into singing?
I was in a plane crash when I was 16 years old back in Nigeria.
Oh, wow.
It took the lives of 107 out of 109 passengers, and I was one of the two survivors.
How do you actually deal with that afterwards, Ketchy?
Lying in the hospital bed with, like, bandaged head to foot, not being able to move or do anything else, music was my escape, and that's why it means so much to me.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
We cannot wait to hear you, Ketchy, so best of luck.
Thank you.
When your legs don't work like they used to before, and I can't sweep you off of your feet, will your mouth still remember the taste of my love? Will your eyes still smile from your cheeks? Darling, I will be loving you till we're 70. Honey, my heart could still fall as hard at 23. Me, I fall in love with you.
Amen. Hallelujah. You know what God does in our lives becomes a testimony, becomes our testimony. And you see, God, wherever we are, whatever discipline, wherever neighborhood, whatever it is that we live, you see, we are His ambassadors. The Bible says that we are salt and light in the earth. He says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom the Lord has redeemed out of the hand of the enemy. When God delivers us, when God performs a miracle in our lives, those things become the platform that opens doors, amen, that we can speak through into the lives of others. Yes. And so I want to encourage every single one of us now that this year of expansion, in this year of expansion, that we are expanding with the gospel, amen. We're expanding with the good news, amen. You and I are carriers of the good news of Jesus Christ. What's the good news to the sick? The good news is that Christ is the healer. What's the good news to people in broken marriages? That Jesus can bring healing and restoration to your home and to your marriage, to parents and to children, to restore those relationships. You know, I think of my own family. And you know, just recently, I had a very special gift from my daughter. And it's quite interesting because, you know, I've had some challenges, as I'm sure many of us have had, with children. One, you know, my eldest teenage daughter. And it completely surprised me, because if I was told that maybe pick one of your children who you think would give you this special gift, it wouldn't have been her. I've only got two, so it's kind of not a hard choice, you know. Is it A or B? But she bought me an iPad, you know. Yeah. That's what I said when she gave it. I thought, wow. I said, this is not sort of the tens of pounds. This is more the sort of hundreds of pounds. I said, Dad, just to say, you know, I love you, Dad. And it surprised me. But it was such a blessing. It was such a precious gift for someone who is very special, who I love very, very much. But things haven't always been easy between us. And so that just really spoke volumes to me. I'm blessed, my heart. But I want to say that, you know, our lives, as we live them out, even within our families, that we are carriers of the love, and we demonstrate God's love nature. We demonstrate that nature to the world around us. We demonstrate that nature in our places of business. We demonstrate that nature in our neighborhoods, wherever we are. Know that you are Christ's royal ambassador. And so in this year of expansion, let's expand with the gospel of love. You see, the devil only comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and life more abundantly. The woman at the well there, she wanted, you know, when she heard about Christ, she said, I want this living water. She went and told everybody. And then everybody came because of her testimony. And then they heard Jesus. And they said, now we believe because of your because we've heard it from you, Jesus yourself. And you know, God is doing that again and again and again through each and every one of us. Amen? Amen. And so I want us in this year of expansion to become champions of testifying of the goodness and of the love of God. Wherever we are, whatever we're doing, whatever your line of business is, become a champion of testifying of the goodness of God. Shall we stand to our feet? Amen. Hallelujah.